This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anthony Lima, Smoker's Cough in the Morning, 216-474-0092. Do you want them to be involved in free agency? Because you guys got to understand this. Like, if you go out and you sign DK Metcalf, hey, great. You guys win five games, and Andrew Berry gets blown out. And I know, hey, it ain't your money. And I'm not even saying, like, oh, gosh, you'll overpay this guy. No, 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 no. But you eventually have to pay the freight on that type of thing somehow at some point. And I don't think you want any more players that you in turn can't unload. Like, you have one player that you can really unload. That's why we've had this big fight about Myles Garrett. And whether or not, you know, the dead cap stuff gets brought in. But, like, I think there'd be plenty of people. I like David Njoku. I think there'd be plenty of people going, yeah, trade David Njoku. You can't get rid of that contract. Denzel Ward, you can't move on from that contract. So you have like one player you can do it. Do you want to add more guys? And I think it's the same fear in free agency that I think a lot of people have in the draft. Where it's like, hey man, like if this season goes belly up, then yeah, they are gone. And you're just left holding everything and dealing with the fallout when a new general manager comes in and tries to fix it. I want it to work with these guys. I don't want to have to fire people. If we're going to go through this next year, I want them to be successful, get this thing going in the right direction, and then we'll see. But I think a lot of people are going, yeah, well, Ken, you can wish in one hand and you know what in the other. So, okay, then I need to know from you guys, do you want them to be active? Do you want them to seriously pursue and put something together for DK Metcalf? Do you want, or to make a trade for DK Metcalf? Do you want them to go out there and pursue and court and get Joey Bosa? Is that something, like, we know these names. These are names we know. So you might be saying, yeah, absolutely. Well, wait a minute. If you think they're going to be a five-win team, what's the point? What's the point?
Right, it's all about...
It's just about more names and more jerseys that you're going to end up having for irony in 3 years anyway.
And it also, you know, we have kind of learned, at least I think a lot of NFL fans have learned, while it's awesome to get those big names, then you really only get a year, even maybe, if everything works out the right way, you might get 2 years out of some of these free agency signings. So when there's a, you know, Hargrave signing with San Francisco and it's $84 million in 4 years, 2 years later, he's available already. Like these guys, so often, the big names in free agency, the number one guys, so often they don't work out. Then you get a Saquon Barkley thing like last year, and it's like, all right, we need to reevaluate how we're going about the whole free agency to begin with.
Because I still think it goes back to, can you build a team through free agency? You can't build a team through free agency. But what I think the Eagles teach everybody is that if you have the right type of culture, you can welcome in free agency, and you can bring guys in, you can trade for guys. A.J. Brown, they traded for A.J. Brown. He's known as a cantankerous person, and I think A.J. Brown could still be cantankerous. The culture there and the self-policing in the locker room is so strong because of the veterans that they've had that they're able to deal with that. Saquon Barkley, who's a running back, and what do we hear about running backs? No, he ends up being the final piece to helping them get over the hump. And you cannot tell me that a team that started off 2-2 and that they were talking about firing their coach, you can't tell me that's not a strong locker room. That's one of the strongest locker rooms you're going to find, because I think we've seen it so many times where it's like, hey, things are touch and go, and the Browns just fall over, and then people get let go because it becomes an easy excuse. The Eagles didn't do that, and they went out and they won a Super Bowl, and I don't think that people would look at – I like Nick Sirianni, obviously. I think a lot of people should have respect for him, and I think people do. But would you put – do a lot of pundits put Nick Sirianni in the top three, top five, upper echelon Super Bowl? No, they don't. They don't. So that comes from your culture. Your culture is not going to be built through free agency this year with a general manager whose back is up against it. So I can't advocate for you to go after Joey Bosa. I don't think Joey Bosa doesn't play quarterback. I don't think that's going to make Myles Garrett feel any better. I can't advocate trading for DK Metcalf. Can you?
No.
And there's another thing to it. I don't know what their plan really is. You're telling me you're going to compete. What's the path to competition?
Well, this is where you'd love to know what they seriously told Myles Garrett, because I think the fans are waiting to be told. We're waiting to see where the team truly thinks they are.
Yes.
Like, obviously, when they get in front of the microphone at the combine, you know, they're not spelling out the type of attack. They're just saying, yeah, we're going to look at external development, just like what every GM says. But, you know, they're not really going to tell you the specifics, the proprietary information on this stuff. But I'd love to know, because, like, the last 4 years, I think we all were on the same page with the organization. It's like, we are in a championship window. We have Nick Chubb in his prime. We have Myles Garrett in his prime. We have Betonio. We have Wyatt Teller. We have Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
All in their primes. We just think we're a quarterback away. All right, whether or not you agreed about whether Baker was good enough, we all were on the same page as a city that we're in this window and this is our chance, especially after that Kansas City game. We're like, okay, we're going to keep getting better. Let's go. Now, this year, I don't think we're on the same page at all with the team, but we don't really know because we're not privy to that stuff. We don't know what they told Myles Garrett.
So, and I can't guarantee what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know what rabbit they can pull out of their hat between now and next week, but I think that the end of next week will give me a much clearer picture about whether or not I think that they can compete. Like, if there is something they can do and they make Myles happy, because we got to ask Mary Kay again, like, what can Myles actually do here? And she'll be up at 9 today, not 8:20, because we have Dan Dockage today at 8 o'clock in less than an hour. We'll talk basketball and Cavs with him. I need a clear picture, because I think a lot of fans are kind of up in the air going, okay, you say you're going to be competitive. How do you plan on doing it? Well, they can't tell you. Okay, I understand. So let's talk about how they're going to be competitive. And I don't think that there's anybody here who can give me a realistic approach. How do they become competitive now? How do they go from three wins? If they had had the injuries they had last year and won three games, I think everybody would go, well, you had injuries. Yeah, you had injuries. This last year, hey, everybody has injuries. The Lions dealt with injuries again, and they were still able to make the playoffs. You dealt with injuries 2 years ago. You were able to make the playoffs. Now it's just, it looks bad. Now it just looks bad. So what is your plan to make this situation better? If they can give us a plan, then yeah, go for Joey Bosa. Sure, make a trade for DK Metcalf. But I don't think that anybody looks at the Browns as any sort of a contender. So what trade can you make? Or really, what can you advocate what trade they should make? There is none. Because I think a lot of fans don't feel that they're going to be there. So right now, I think our conversation isn't with DK Metcalf or Joey Bosa or any of the other names that we've been talking about that are bigger and better names. I think it's like what Adam Schefter brings up on his podcast yesterday. And he's talking about an old friend of ours.
How about Joe Flacco, who's already led the Cleveland Browns to the playoffs 2 years ago? And there were people in the organization that wanted to keep him. He wanted to play. They let him go because there was some division there. He went to Indianapolis, went fine. But Joe Flacco back to Cleveland could be the perfect bridge quarterback for when Cleveland drafts a quarterback. I expect to be high. So you have Flacco as the potential starter or the rookie if he's ready. Flacco's a great guy to have in the locker room. I think Joe Flacco could be in play in Cleveland.
To me, that is, as of right now, the most realistic, the most hopeful plan to not competing this year, but to seeing a road that you can get back to it at the end of this year. To having a glimmer, a gleam, if you will. Like Gardner Minshew, I saw what Mary Kay reported yesterday when they said that they're like Gardner Minshew is going to be out there for people. And my answer was, what am I going to do week three? Because Gardner will start out hot, but if he gets injured, what am I going to do? Joe can be big enough and be sturdy enough and knows the offense and knows the team and the team likes him enough. Okay, I could talk myself into that for a little bit. I do think he'll go belly up. It happened in Indianapolis. I think it was on its way to happening here, but we don't want to admit that, and I don't want to either. But okay, can he give me enough time before he goes belly up and say we can start 4-3 and we get to week 8 and then, boy, the wheels are shaky because I'm not going to do the Johnny Manziel, Brian Hoyer thing and take him out if we're still winning some football games unless I know for a fact my next quarterback, my rookie, is ready. And if my rookie is in fact ready, then maybe I'll go out there and I'll put him out there. But I'll let Joe start the season.
The Patriots did this last year, right? I mean, they did it with
Oh, it
wasn't Brissett. No. I mean, I get mixed up.
Was it Jacoby? I think it was Jacoby.
Yeah, and then Drake May took over, and then it was the whole thing was weird because they were bitching that they didn't just start Drake May from the get-go.
It still wasn't a good situation. They fired the coach and they fired the staff. Oh, yeah. I don't. My goal, if they're going to keep these guys, I want them to be back in 2026 because I don't want to waste my time. So as much as it bothers everybody to hear that. All right, if you're going to keep them around for 2025, I hope that they do enough to be around for 2026. Because if they go out and they win 4 more games again this year, no, you're not going to be around in 2026. And I certainly wouldn't advocate for it. But I need something that gives me some hope, not about competing and making the playoffs this year, that gives me some hope that, all right, we got Cam Ward or we got Shador Sanders. Or, you know what, since we got Joe, we decided to lay it low a little bit. We went and we got Will Howard or Jackson Dart or Tyler Shook. The kid, you know, we got one of those players, a kid from Louisville. And then that kid was able to play well. And, hey, maybe we have our own Bo Nix situation. That's as close as it gets, Tone. Yeah. Other than that, my level of competition, my hope for competition, it's not appetizing to the general fan. It's not 11, 12 wins. Playing for the AFC North, it's let's get this thing back on the rail and give me something that I can work with that's decent enough to move the football and get me in a position where, hey, you know what? I know that they're probably not bringing Nick back. Can we run the ball with some efficiency there and put us in a position to win some regular season football games as long as we don't turn the ball over, which Joe could turn the ball over here and there, certainly. But can we eliminate turnovers as best we can, not put the ball on the ground, put ourselves in positions to win games on the margins, which is what teams like the Browns had to do in every year with Kevin Stefanski, both those years that they went to the playoffs. Can we do that and maybe get 7 or 8 wins? And then because it's a rookie quarterback taking over for Joe, can we be feeling better about going into 2026? That's a hope. That's not an expectation. But that's where we're at right now. Guys, I'm sorry.
Don't do your boomer.
No,
do not do
I'll
it.
Never get my voice back again.
That cost you a whole month of radio 1 year.
Bald Bowler, it really did. Bald Bowler tweeted at me, Ken, I work in a factory. I have an older radio I listen to you on. Thank you very much. I keep wanting to tune it because your voice is cracking. It sounds like static. Feel better, buddy. Disney is a cesspool of germs with all those kids.
Oh, that's true.
You know what else is a cesspool of germs?
A toilet.
Your toilet.
Yep. Yep.
Keep your face out of it next time.
A couple years ago, Eli jumped into bed right before we went to sleep, coughed in my face and left. And I went, I'm going to get sick. And I was sicker than a damn dog for the next week. I woke up the next morning. I go, oh, here's the drip. Not the good drip either. The bad drip.
Bad drip.
And I was sicker than a damn dog. And I told Liz, I go, I'm going to come back. I'm going to get sick. And sure as hell. And having to deal with, again, Eli's situation on Sunday didn't make that any better. So I apologize to everybody. I felt so much better yesterday at the end of the show. I was like, all right, I got a roid for it. We're making it through. And then I woke up this morning. I was just ready to put holes in walls. So I apologize. Thank you very much for bearing with me. But calling me Robert F. Kennedy Jr. on the coming in hotline. You go, you get the free Odyssey app if you don't already have it. It's right next to the Listen Live button. You hit that microphone. It's the coming in hotline. Keep it to about 30 seconds. Call me whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Sounds good to me. Darius Garland, your concern. I got something about baseball coming up here in five minutes and about these salary numbers here that's not going to make anybody feel any better. But please.
Yeah, I'm curious with Darius because he still hit some huge shots. You got to go back to the Boston game. Even though his numbers were bad again against Boston just in terms of efficiency, he still hit a big shot in that game. So it's not like there's a lack of a willingness or anything like that. Like, he is still seems like a very confident player. With that said, over the last, really since the start of February, his numbers have dipped big time. So we kept talking about 50-40-90. Could he be in this elite club? You know, Kyrie has been in the 50-40-90 club before. Can Garland be there? It was such a huge, huge monumental shift from last season, the year from hell from Darius. But he's been healthy. He's been confident. But his numbers have absolutely taken a dip since February. And if you want to even go smaller sample, which is normally not a smart thing to do, but yeah. You know, everything else is going great with the Cavs. I mean, everything else is amazing. They've won 12 in a row. So maybe people don't even notice this. But Darius, in his last seven games, his numbers have really taken a dip. He's shooting 33% from the field, 34% from three. And I'm wondering, is it regression? Is it just Darius coming back to the pack, kind of normalizing his numbers? Or is it the hip situation? Either way, is it grounds for him getting some rest over the final, what are we, month and a half left of the regular season?
Yeah. I think it's time for some rest for him. Because Darius has proven here, he has only really played poorly when he's been injured. When he's healthy, he's a fantastic basketball player. Is that or is that not true? Like, all last year, I think that he's earned this. And maybe I'll end up being wrong. Maybe that he's going to start sucking up the room or turn back into what he was last year. But last year, he got raked across the eyes night one. It was an injury-riddled season, plagued by that. Remember, he had that back injury the All-Star year, and things kind of went sideways, and people were yelling for him to get some rest. You know, now, I think that you've just clinched the playoffs. You're the first team to clinch the playoffs. What are you playing for? I mean, let's be honest, guys. We're not playing for anything now. We've just clinched the playoffs. Unless you have a total and utter collapse, which is not going to happen, as long as everybody's healthy, knock on wood, you're not getting caught by Boston. I don't think Boston, you're eight games ahead. Is Boston really trying to catch you right now? I mean, they've won three in a row since they lost to you. Have you caught any of that from Boston? No.
No.
So you're not really playing for anything. Sit Darius. Give him some time. Now, if he's not as hurt as what you may be wondering, then if you're Kenny Atkinson, okay, if we sit him, is there a confidence issue at all? Is there, because you know, I think that injury and then the conversation around Darius affected his confidence last year. We couldn't get out of that season quick enough for Darius Garland. And there was people who wanted to get out of the Darius Garland business as quickly as they could after last year. I think he's proven to us here over his 5 years in Cleveland that he is, when healthy, one of your best basketball players. One of your two best basketball players if you need him to be. But he's got to be healthy because this does, again, coincide with talks about him being banged up, this run of bad performances. Let's call it what they are. Rusty or rough, bad performances here for Darius. Now that you have made the playoffs and you're really the number one seed, go ahead and sit him. Go ahead and give him some time off.
And I think you're seeing that by and large. Every game, there's like a new, hey, this guy could rest of your core. Other than Jared Allen, who we keep hearing from people close to the team, like maybe he's outright said it. I want to play all 82.
No, he has, as far as I know, he's outright said he wanted to play all 82 games this year.
Again, Darius hit.
I heard that from Justin Rowan. So
Darius hit a big shot in the Portland game. He hit a big shot in the Boston game. So at least you are still getting those moments where it's not like he's afraid or anything like that.
I don't want him to lose confidence. I mean, he's been a confident player this year. I don't want him to lose that. But if he's banged up, hey, let's sit. I mean, Evan sat the other night for rest. Sit him. I didn't mean to cut you off there, but just sit him. Go ahead and take a seat. Because I know that you had that situation. He missed that last shot and missed that free throw a couple of months ago.
That's Houston, right?
Mm-hmm. And the next day, that one game gave the haters and the losers all the reasons to call in and start saying, he ain't changed. He's still bad. He's still that player we should have tried to trade last year. He's still going to cost us a lot. Like, that's, it was one game. So I think that they're still out there. I think that the anti-Darius group is still out there. I think that they're quiet because you're 52-10. But if there is some struggling here.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want him to have to deal with any of that criticism right now. I mean, it's a grown man's league. You're going to play against good teams in the playoffs, and you're going to have to show up and perform. I can't hide him from them. But you know what? Until we get there, yeah, sit him. And you know what else? Sit him against the Knicks. You got two games left against the Knicks this year. Sit him against the Knicks. I'll sit everybody against the Knicks. I don't want to put any more out on tape for them. No. Do we have to prove? Because these are get-up games here. Let me ask you one more thing. I want to move on to this payroll thing in baseball. Last week, Celtics came out 25-3. Timeouts were called. You had Jason Tatum doing the Hulk Hogan. People telling us to get out of here. I mean, it was a whole mess. Cavs came back, won that game. Was that the last stand for getting up for games during the regular season? Because I got no more against Boston. Do I need to prove anything to the Knicks?
No, and in reality, like,
I don't have anything left to prove for the season.
The way things are set up, the odds are now looking like you're not really going to play the Knicks, I mean, unless they got to the Eastern Conference Finals, because they're kind of wedged in there at the 3 seed. So they got Mitchell Robinson back.
Uh-huh.
We'll see if that changes their team
I think they're going to come out tough against the Knicks, though. I think it's not that you
don't want to be out tough.
Right.
you've still got to come out. You can't take those games off.
But if I
one
see,
of
I
them's
disagree.
The next to last game of the year. Maybe that's the one you take off.
I disagree. I'm like, man, I got to build in. I don't want to make excuses for a 52 win basketball team. That's not what I'm trying to do. But I'm like, you're not going to get. Even Knicks fans aren't going to give their team quarter if I got Donovan, Darius out in those games, Evan out in those games. Jarrett seems to want to play every game, so Jarrett stays. I mean, you got to play somebody, for crying out loud. If I have those guys out for those games, I think Knicks fans are going to sit there and lie to themselves.
Well, I don't
do give them more
Knicks fans.
Yeah, but I'm saying I don't think you're going to have to deal with Knicks fans going, you better watch out, you better hope we don't play each other.
Yeah, no, I don't think this is for getting in the Knicks' mind or their fans' minds or anything like that. I think they need to come out for them just to show, hey, everything that we've been working towards this year, we can achieve, we've been able to achieve, and this is one more plateau that they would, the last plateau really in the East, because Boston's done already.
They have tried to be tougher. The Cavs have this year. I mean, it was a big.
Well, I think they've been successful.
Narrative. And they've been successful. I mean, good God. I mean, you got everybody talking tough. Even Ty Jerome right before I came back talking tough. I don't think that those games, though, I just would rather see them rest. I would rather give them time, get them ready for the postseason, because those games, you're going to get everybody's best shot. I go back to Orlando last year. That became a white knuckle series. You're going to get everybody's best. And I think one of these teams, like Detroit, they're going to have nothing to lose. Orlando, certainly, they've stuck in your craw before. I think you got some things you got to deal with there in the postseason.
They play the Knicks April 2nd. That's a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
That's a home game. I think that one's important. They play them again on the 11th, which is a Friday. That's in New York. Maybe that's the next to last game. Now, they're going to have that week off of the play-in and all that. Yeah. So. Well, I don't think that one's as important, but I think that's that one on the second. Probably still need to come out and be hard-ass Cavs.
So some numbers came out. I like that. Well, I want to ask Dan Dockich about that at 8 o'clock. Some numbers came out about payroll. A man named Ethan Houlihan, who is a big analytics guy, did payrolls in Major League Baseball. The discrepancies, you already knew this, but the discrepancies between the Athletics, even take the Athletics out, because the Athletics aren't really a Major League Baseball franchise. But I think that's part of the problem that people are saying with Major League Baseball. I don't know how long that this can go and you can still have the interest that you are having, which is waning in Major League Baseball. I still think that the sport is healthy in America. I still think it's one of the two main sports that people start playing first in the suburbs of America. I think it's I still think it's a great sport. But when you have the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers right up there at the top, and then you put in the Pirates, I do think are trying to be competitive now because they have Paul Skeens. But when you have them at 333 and the Pirates at 87, it's the same conversation we've had for 20 years. The difference is now, though, two things. One, to three things. One, you've had Tony Clark of the Players Union and Rob Manfred talking tough. Two, and about each other's sides and about the need for a cap and things like that. And Tony Clark saying it'll be a cold day in hell before we ever get a salary cap or anything like that. Second part of it is, did you see the ESPN story about them getting out of the Major League Baseball business? Because originally, they wanted a huge rollback of television rights. That's ESPN. One of the live sports is what saves general television now in 2025. That news. And if you have live sports and one of the main entities, or the main entity, let's call it what it is, wanting to roll back on your product and what they spend on it, that should be a major red flag to owners. It should be a major red flag to players, but they're going to fight for what they have. The third part of it is, you just said it, you have a work stoppage possibility in 2026. I don't want there to be no baseball. I don't want there to be no baseball because I like talking about baseball in the summer. I watch more games than I ever have just yet last year alone. I got friends who work for the Guardians. A work stoppage might be in everybody's best interest.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, like how much would you be willing to sacrifice as a fan to get the economic system fixed? To get everybody on an equal playing field, or at least get closer to that.
Have like ratings in the NBA. People love to brag about the ratings taking a bath in the NBA. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But the ratings in the NBA have taken a hit, and they've been more like the NFL, where it's been more equitable. Would that be something that you would say, warned you against doing something like that in Major League Baseball? Because right now I'm like, man, I remember in English class, senior year, Flo Tuesdale's class, shout out to Miss Tuesdale, I wrote an argument, high school, 2004, about a need for a salary cap and a salary floor. Longest high school paper I ever wrote. It was like 12 pages. This is high school. Come on. Give me some credit. That was 20 years ago. We're still arguing about this. The need for a salary cap and a salary floor, especially the floor, but you got to throw the cap in there too. It's never been more stark. Again, I shouldn't have to tell Pirates fans something they already know. Where it's like, hey, enjoy Paul Skeens. He ain't going to be there. He's a pitcher. Travis Bezzano, what does immediately people bring up about Travis Bezzano? And we are the competitive club between the two clubs.
I know.
You know, the Pirates seem to be competitive by accident every now and then. We've been a very good franchise
for
the last 20-plus years.
Baseball, because of its economics, has made it so that it's an afterthought in 26 cities during the offseason.
Yes.
It is a total afterthought.
So if now I have a cap, can I make free agency interesting again? Can I make it great again?
Yeah, hell yeah,
you could. If I have a floor, can I make free agency and hot stove interesting again? Can I now go and talk about Guardians winter meetings and them being involved in some of this stuff? Like, I think that's – you have to have a general interest of a sport, because look at the other two ones that we talk about. NBA free agency, crazy times. Trade deadline, crazy times. NFL trade deadline. If you've noticed, it's heated up over the last couple of years. NFL free agency, we're already looking forward to it, and we're probably not even going to be that interested or that involved in free agency this year. The off seasons for these sports are becoming as big as the regular season for these sports, not in baseball. And if you're a traditionalist, you like that because it's on the field. But this is not the future. And I think the most alarming thing is if ESPN, the former home of Baseball Tonight, is willing to pull out of your sport altogether, that should be a scary scenario for Rob Manfred.
Yeah, I just don't
cannot
know.
Stand.
I just don't know how much the owners care, because
I think they should.
In a place like Cleveland or Pittsburgh, they get so much money in revenue sharing from the big boys that it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Some of these teams, it doesn't matter how bad they are or how few people come to the games. They're made whole by the revenue sharing.
But in the NFL, and I know it's different, but I still get revenue sharing. And
I know.
I know it's not always this way, but the fans feel like you have an equal spot at the table, whether you're in Cincinnati or whether you're in New York. And that's never been in our children's lifetime. And that's only been at the very beginning when you and I were kids. And we got out of that terrible lease with Art Modell that no one wants to talk about. I mean, that's the only time it's ever been like that.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML, fix my life.
Denny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Man, I screwed up already. First day of Lent and ate meat and didn't even know it yesterday. Didn't even realize it.
What time was it?
At like... When did those bagels come in?
Oh, yeah, I had the bacon bagel.
I had no idea.
Well, did you get your ashes yet?
Forgot.
Did you happen to get your ashes yet at that time?
Did not.
I don't think you did.
Did not.
Well, then it doesn't count until you get your ashes.
Is that right?
Well, I don't know. I was actually going to ask you. Now, I consider myself like a Steve Mihalik when Stu Finer talks about him. Like, knew all religions. I've been, because I grew up Presbyterian, but I was in Canton.
What are they doing? What does Presbyterians believe in?
They believe in the small of a woman's back. They believe in the low-hanging... I forget what he was saying in that movie. We're just good old-fashioned Bible people,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
But I grew up in Canton, and I grew up... I mean, it was basically like, we're not Catholic. Why are we not Catholic? Everybody else around me is Catholic. And then I told you, my dad's side of the family, I have a very heavy Jewish population in that side of the family through marriage, and I've been to the Jewish weddings and the funerals and the other stuff, so I've seen all of it.
It by the way, real quick, it is amazing when you are young the segregation that occurs by religion, the intolerance that it doesn't even need to be spoken. It's just kind of like, oh, they're Jehovah's Witness. They're Mormon. They don't celebrate this, or they don't drink this, or they don't do this.
Well, that was different then.
But they do this.
Oh,
it's like as a kid, you're basically teaching that you have to discriminate people based on just what religion they are.
Well, I don't think we do that in this generation, do we?
I would hope not.
Maybe not in this area of the
not
country.
Not in this room.
Yeah, we won't be raising our kids that way, but it absolutely was like, it didn't even need to be spoken when we were young. It was just like, oh yeah, it's a little different over there.
I forgot where Owen's originally from. But Owen's not like that. Alan, don't do that.
I'll save my comments for off air.
Probably for the best for everybody.
I grew up in a Southern Baptist household.
And what was that?
Read up on it, and you can know everything you need to know about.
I know
what
one church
I was taught to believe.
One church in particular.
That is not
in your not
true.
In your state, but
no,
a different state.
The state above us.
Yes, the other state. I know famously what one particular church
We've
believes.
We've met a few times outside of military.
I was going to ask. Cemeteries.
Oh God. But I had a question.
Yes.
So I understand the meat thing. No meat. You're trying to withhold the meat from the Lent. Why the other things, though? Totally innocent question. I'm serious. This is not the beginning of some shtick. I want to know.
You mean
obviously, I have a lot of Catholic friends.
You're saying why give up anything? Because like,
My wife was raised Catholic.
I know people give up alcohol for Lent. That is a frequent one. People give up candy for Lent.
Yeah.
People give up cookies or treats.
But then I will hear them and they're like, well, I can't do it because I gave it up. And like, I've heard people complain like, oh God, I gave that up for Lent. Why did I give this up for Lent? Well, why did you do it?
Well, and for the longest time, there was no chance I was ever going to even think about giving up alcohol for Lent because of what? St. Patrick's Day, MAC tournament, boys state tournament, used to be down in Columbus all the time. Now they have the girls tournament semifinals at local high schools. But you get the picture. We would all go down, drink, and then it would be the NCAA tournament. It was like one after the other event.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't give up alcohol for Lent. There's no chance.
But I mean, you gave up.
Jesus, a big deal. But you know, I got my basketball tournament.
You gave up meat, right?
Yes. But screwed it up yesterday.
But do you give up the meat? The whole 40 days, or do you give up the meat?
Because
I knew people just didn't eat meat on Fridays.
You could. I feel like...
But they'll eat the fish.
I feel like I'd become emaciated. I wouldn't do all the right things to get the proper protein intake.
That's not true. Talk to Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, man. We had a long conversation about that.
I know. He was very big in his belief system about diet and everything.
So are you going to eat meat? Now that you ate meat yesterday?
No. I'll go back to make sure, just as a family, we'll be making sure to observe the meat-free Fridays, the Lenten season. We love the fish fry. Love a good fish fry. Kenny, and we support
I think the fish
the
fries
church
are great.
Fish fries.
Can I go to a fish fry even if I'm not Catholic?
I go every week. So my wife's Catholic. I observe all of that because I'm supporting. So I do all the... I do fish on Fridays. My basement might as well look like I'm looking for Pepe Sylvia. I've got a map with all the best fish fries and where to go.
I'm glad you brought that up because, like, you know, my wife, she grew up Catholic. She's from Youngstown. And I'd be, like, driving past these churches. I'm like, man, I bet that fish is so good. I bet that's some good-ass fish in there. And I'm like, and I never really asked her. I never really brought it up. I'm like, can I go in there if I'm not Catholic?
Yeah, you can go. They don't check your card at the door.
I mean, don't. How much is the fish fry free? You got to throw a couple bucks in the plate, right?
It's not free.
It's a moneymaker for the church.
This is a fundraiser for the church.
Okay.
And then there's also an area, some churches, I've been to quite a few in the Parma area, they have a donation.
They're the king of the fish fry.
Okay. Because I'm very big on, if I go to a church for anything, I'm going to drop a couple bucks in somewhere.
Our local one in Avon Lake, they got a drive-through. They've got electronic capabilities where you can pay with card right in your car.
And really?
You stop at one stop and you go, hey, they give you the menu. They go, these are the offerings.
There you go. Good
this
church
is what
right
I need.
There, boy. That's good.
Brian's running patrol out in the parking lot. It's a pretty good time.
I've never told Owen this, and I don't think I've ever got a chance to tell Lima this because he's always running the event. But at Holy Rosary in Little Italy, I always have to go use the bathroom because usually you and I were in the parking lot doing things. And I always have to go use the bathroom, and I always like, okay, here's the buck. Here's another buck. Here's another buck. Because I'm like, I don't want to use your bathroom. And if, you know, something gets somewhere, it's like, you ain't going to clean it up for free. I don't want you to have to do that. So there you go.
I'll light a few candles.
Yeah.
Why not?
We got the Lou in North Railton.
Lou.
Talk to Big Lou. Hello, Lou.
Lima, you're going to hell, buddy. You're a heathen.
Wow.
It's a big mistake yesterday, Lou.
He ain't going to hell for just that, buddy.
I remember. Yesterday was probably like the first time in a couple years that actually I went to Ash Wednesday, got ashes, and I remembered not to eat meat. So you're forgiven.
Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah. Now, Lou, what I never liked, there seemed to be with some people a judgment of, let's say, television personalities who get the ash and then go on TV. And I'm like, how is that something to attack somebody over?
Yeah, those guys, I call them once a year Catholics. They just basically go.
Now, Lou, hold on.
Reckless speculation.
And we know Christmas service is there once a year. Come on, Lou.
Goodness gracious.
Reckless speculation.
They just go on to put on a show. You know what I mean? I did my duties and I got my ashes and this and that. So
listen, Lou.
You're not supposed to broadcast to the world that, you know, if you go to the mass and listen
well,
to it,
Lou,
they always.
These are the opinions of Lou. I cannot share that opinion.
No social media if people didn't go broadcast the good deeds.
Come on. Shots fired at Tony Reale.
Wait a whole minute now, damn it. Now, hold on a second.
I like that we're putting names on.
People like to go after Shaq. Mm. Well, no, Shaq can't even have a Shaqaroni pizza on. Like the Rock will give away a house or a car, and they're like, "Well, he always has to have a camera with him." I was like, "Well, he still did the good deed."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's not like he took away the car after the camera went off. So just because you had the camera following you for the good deed, it's like, yeah, you can still do the good deed. It wasn't like it didn't give him the car. It wasn't like it didn't pay the house note. There you go. Well, I'm glad we got. I don't think I got any smarter today, but at least I was able to figure out what you were going through there. So no meat these 40 days for you.
No. I'm just not going to do meat on Fridays.
Oh, Fridays.
You're supposed to give up something else for 40 days if you want.
I know you technically are.
Oh, you really?
It's supposed to be a sacrifice. Yeah. If Jesus was able to sacrifice all that he sacrificed, then my goodness,
you give up some chocolate.
Yeah.
See. I didn't know that. I'm not a Catholic.
Well, now you do.
Outstanding.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.